broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kirk Crosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. This is Hour 2 of 2, Liberty Roundtable Live. The goal always, to promote God, family, and country, and to protect life, liberty, and property. We reject revolution, but stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. Welcome to Liberty Roundtable Live. What is it, September the 14th in the year of our Lord, 2017? All right, I'm going to play the commercial again to set the stage for the discussion we're going to have right now.
Can a nation conceived in liberty carry its head high if it denies protection to the youngest and most vulnerable of its citizens? Can a country founded on God-given rights continue to thrive without understanding that life is a precious gift from our Creator? As a physician, I have looked into the eyes of one-pound babies. I have cradled their small bodies in the palm of one hand. I defy those who are careless, who would disregard life and look at these tiny little miracles and say, we're not going to protect that.
But I believe there will come a time when we are all judged on whether or not we took a stand in defense of all life from the moment of conception until our last natural breath. One thing I promise you, I will always take a stand for life.
He's doing it, ladies and gentlemen. Rand Paul reintroduced the Life at Conception Act. He's getting it done. That's great news, breaking news. We've got to overturn Roe versus Wade. Rand Paul. Clinton calls abortion a fundamental human right. The Pope attacking Donald, saying, Donald, you're not pro-life enough. Turning it into an immigration debate. The debate's on. The battle lines are clear. You're either pro-life or pro-death. We want to take this to the stars, Kurt. So I did, over the last 6 minutes on this break, exactly what we're asking our listeners to do. I called two people. I called Rand Paul's office, and of course I got voicemail, Kurt. And I left a message and said, hey, I'm Sam Bushman, nationally syndicated radio talk show host. I love what Rand's doing. Want to support it 1,000%. Please call me back. We'll create radio commercials for free. We'll run them for free. We'll do everything we can to help this bill. And to help you promote this agenda, get a hold of us, would you please? And then I called my senator, Mike Lee, and I got a person, a staffer there that was very kind. And I said, hey, is Mike Lee a supporter of this bill? He said, what bill? I said, the Life at Conception Act. He went and looked it up, and Mike Lee is not a sponsor of the bill, Kurt. And I said, well, why? He said, I don't know, you know, maybe it just came out. And I'm like, no, it came out in January. In fact, it was a reintroduced bill. It's been put in January. Nothing's been done since. It got read twice. It got pushed for debate and shut down. It's on hold. What do we do, Kurt, with this? You want to respond to this first before we go on here?
That's a great point, Sam. And, I know that Congress is busy. Every time I hear that, I always think of the recess story about Congress getting in recess. But I know there's a lot of different demands on people's times, whether it's you and mine or yours and mine or anybody else's. But what's more important than taking care of life? I just don't think there could be anything above that. And it reflects on everything else. So that's why I highly recommend it to folks. You know, and when I look at, Senator Mike Lee, I'm sure that, he would be there. And by the way, I thought it was interesting. You have two senators, Sam, and by the way, one of them is Orrin Hatch, who I guess you have a little less love for Orrin Hatch than you do Mike Lee, or, although you're supposed to love your enemies, so anyway, I know that Orrin Hatch is, if you had a $10,000 check for him, he'd probably be a lot more, listen-upable.
Yeah, good
but
point.
Anyway,
now, that was Senator Mike Lee's office calling me back. The staffer called back and said, hey, why don't you email? Maybe you can get somebody on the radio.
Really?
Yeah, they gave me an addressed email, Kurt. So now I got to spend a bunch of time just to email, and then they'll say, man, the senator's super busy right now or whatever. It'll be a struggle, but I'll try. I'll see what I can do. Anyway, the bottom line, though, is so
what
I
you
got
to do is clone yourself and give, you know, that job to one of your clones. You know what I mean? You got to have
maybe Kurt Cosby could do
10 of yours.
He's like the best clone I've got.
That's right. That's right.
Not only that, how do you say someone's a clone if they're smarter than you are? Anyway, I can pass it to my smarter clones. Anyway, all I'm saying, so I said, you know, what gives it this? And they didn't know. And anyway, then I said, look up who's on the bill. And it turns out that there's 11 co-sponsors, Kurt. Neither of them are from the Olympic State of Utah. Neither Orrin Hatch nor Mike Lee are on this bill.
Huh? Yeah.
Now,
11.
Guess who else is missing in action, Kurt?
Ted Cruz.
Yes. Guess who else?
Let's see. Well, Rand Paul wouldn't be on there as a co-sponsor if he did the bill.
Yeah,
so
he did the bill.
Let's see.
Marco
Rubio
is not on either.
Rubio.
Now, guess who is on there, Kurt? There's state represented more than any other state in the union. Can you guess what it is?
One state represented more than any other state.
Yes,
Texas.
Sir? Nope. In other words, both senators are on board.
Yeah, but it's not Texas.
No, sir.
It's not California.
Oh,
I
no, sir.
You. And it's not New York.
Good. You know it's not Florida because I've already ruled that out for you. You know it wouldn't be Texas because I already ruled that out for you.
Or Arizona. Utah.
It's not Arizona. It's not Utah. That's right.
It's got to be a southern state.
You're like, close because the majority of the sponsors are from southern states, Kurt. But it isn't.
They care about life.
Like one of the senators from Louisiana's on there. One of the senators from Oklahoma's on there. One of the senators, I think, from Indiana is on there.
Huh?
There's one state, Kurt. You can't guess it? No, no.
Man, I know it wouldn't be Hawaii.
No, not Hawaii, my friend. They're pro-death over there.
Know, New Jersey. No,
no, not New Jersey.
New Hampshire.
Think Rocky
really
Mountains.
Idaho?
Yeah.
Huh. Cool.
Two senators from Idaho lead
but
the
none
charge.
None from Utah.
None. Correct. Two senators from Idaho, both of them. What's the senator's name? One's Crapo. What's the other one?
I don't remember.
I don't live in Idaho, so I don't have that in front of me. But all I'm telling you is there's 11 co-sponsors. It's been languishing since January. Nothing's really been done. Rand's trying, two Idaho senators, an Oklahoma senator, a Louisiana senator. I guess one of the Dakotas, they got a senator on board there, too. So, you know, there's some traction, but 11 senators co-sponsoring this thing. And I don't see really any traction for it anywhere in the news or anything. I commend Rand Paul. I wonder why Mike Lee, Ted Cruz, and others are missing in action. I really wonder.
Yeah, good point.
All right, now you knew that Senator Sanders introduced a single-payer health bill.
Right.
It's called the Medicare for All bill.
Yeah.
I hope we don't let that get traction in the news, Kurt. But I guess churches are in the news, and not only are they trying to stand for pro-life, Kurt, but they're really trying to stand for helping with a lot of these natural disasters that are occurring. But they got troubles, and it's not getting people to help them help the people, Kurt. That's not the problem.
Yeah, they got
what
opposition.
What is the problem?
Well, it's their opposition, church opposition. What is that? You know, opponents of churches? Well, that's the government. Yeah, and Bob Unruh from WorldNet Daily gives us this piece. Three Texas churches have sued the Federal Emergency Management Agency when they were banned from participating in, well, federal hurricane recovery. Now, you've
now
got
let me
your...
stop you there.
Yeah.
Because I think this lays it out. First off, you got your federal hurricane recovery. Is that what it said?
Yeah. Federal hurricane recovery
program. I thought
programs.
All hurricane recovery was local, Kurt. I didn't know the federal got hit by a hurricane.
Well, the feds are the Maine guys that love hurricanes, if you ask me. But anyway, the reason they banned them is because of their faith, and they are now getting support from President Trump as well, at least one member of Congress. So there's one member of Congress. And the three churches in the middle of Hurricane Harvey's path of death and destruction sued because of FEMA bans them on the basis of their faith from participating in recovery programs.
Now, there's a little bit of a lie going on. We'll talk about it. Sam and Kurt, Liberty Roundtable, live in seconds.
We fought, we learned, we struggled,
we won.
Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
The first time I ever truly took a drink was the summer before my freshman year of high school.
When I was 12, I went to a party and everybody was drinking, and so I just grabbed me a beer and started drinking.
The first time I drank, you know, it was fun. Find a game, see if we can do it without getting caught. But I didn't know that I was going to want it more.
I wasn't drinking beer. It took too long to get drunk, and I didn't like the taste very well.
You know, it got to the point where I was drinking so much, I was getting bored with the feeling. I was getting bored with the buzz.
That's all that goes through your head is, when am I going to get wasted again?
You know, I started in slowly, you know, with pot. Then you just slowly move up the scale. It's the typical story of a drug user.
Beer's the easiest thing for teenagers to get, and so they take one beer, which is like your first step.
Don't even do it. It's not worth it. Take it from somebody who knows.
A public service message from The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
The headline lies a little bit, but the issue is worthy of discussion. Churches banned from hurricane help. Now Donald Trump joins the fight. Now, this is a friendly Bob Unruh writing the piece for WND.com. I just think the headline is a little bit misleading, Kurt, when you really dig into the details.
Well, it's a great point, Sam. They say the action where these churches were suing now, the action was brought by Beckett. It's a nonprofit religious liberty law firm on behalf of Harvest Family Church, Highway Tabernacle, and Rockport First Assembly of God Churches. This is what Diana Verm, who works at Beckett, said. After the costliest and most devastating natural disaster in U.S. history, the government should come to the aid of all, not leave important parts of the community underwater. Hurricane Harvey didn't cherry-pick its victims. FEMA shouldn't cherry-pick whom it helps. The churches now are enjoying the public support of the president. The story says, churches in Texas should be entitled to reimbursement from FEMA relief funds for helping victims for Hurricane Harvey, just like others. I guess on social media, Donald J. Trump, the president, advocated for the churches to be allowed to participate in the FEMA programs. He said churches in Texas should be entitled to reimbursement from FEMA relief funds for helping victims of Hurricane Harvey, just like others. And Senator Ben Sasse, from Nebraska. He wrote to the FEMA administrator, Brock Long, requesting an explanation for the decision to discriminate. See, now that's a good word they want to use. He said, well, anyway, it's a long piece there. But
now, the big reason that I say this is kind of a misleading headline
this.
And kind of a problem, though, Kurt, is they're not banned from helping, really. They're banned from helping and then getting money from FEMA, right? These churches want money from the government.
Yeah, they want to be reimbursed for their help.
And that's
efforts,
the problem that I'm seeing with this. I don't think that they need
I
to be.
Agree.
Now, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints isn't asking for help, are they?
Not that I'm aware of.
Okay,
know.
And so, look, we need to do the private sector solutions. And so this headline
that's
is a little
right.
bit misleading. I believe it's somewhat discriminatory at one in one sense. But you don't force the government to give money out to more people. What you do is you say it's so discriminatory, let's shut down the federal FEMA program entirely. Because it's, you know, racist and discriminatory and hostile. And let's just let the private sector, let these churches step up. But let's not let the churches, you know, step up in a great charitable effort and then go to the federal government for a handout. Let's not do that. So there's a bigger, you know, picture discussion here. But all I can tell you is it's very interesting bedfellows when it all comes to big money funded by your government. Now, I believe that all...
Well,
you know,
it reminds me, Sam, of the whole voucher situation, though, too, in education. We both of us agree that we want the government out of so many things. The problem is, at least if we say in the government, well, okay, we're going to let them stay in it, but we're going to make sure that none of the money goes to, you know, good groups.
The good guys,
that,
yeah.
You know, then that's even worse. So at least if we could get folks to accept the idea that Christians and others could participate, then that's a better
it
situation
is kind
than
of,
we're
but
in,
but it backfires because then the better guys advocate
they
for the money to keep
it.
It rolling. So you take the sex education idea, and the conservatives at first were like, let's shut down sex education, it's bad. And then they're like, well, if we're not going to shut it down, let's at least have abstinence-only education there. But now you got the abstinence-only folks, you know, lobbying to keep the government spigot turned on, too. And same thing here. I mean, I support it. I want the good guys to get the money. If we're going to give it to anybody, at least some good guys could get some of it. But if you're not careful, the churches are going to be, you know, preventing me from shutting down FEMA entirely and saying, well, we got to have the money for the good churches that are doing great work, Kurt. Same thing with education. I mean, at first it's good. You know, hey, if you're going to do education, let's at least let the good guys participate in it. But at some point, then they further
it's
continue
exactly
the
right.
problem that we've gotten. So I don't know the answers except to say we got to have less money spent by the government. There is no such thing as a federal hurricane. And we got to really focus on the local level and on private sector solutions. All right, I guess the U.S. Congress, Kurt, you know, they put together this bill that's or this resolution, they call it, that rejects white supremacy and such. Did you see this yesterday, Kurt? We talked about it a little bit.
Let's see. So tell me again, how does it work or what?
So
happened?
Congress, the House and the Senate passed a resolution saying we reject white supremacy and you know, this kind of stuff. And now it's at the president's desk to sign, and we hope Donald doesn't cave into the stupidity of this. Nevertheless, I did a little bit of digging after seeing those headlines, Kurt.
Yeah.
Turns out the U.S. Congress is still overwhelmingly white and male compared to the overall population, Kurt.
Just like in the NBA and the NFL, they're going to have to change the ratio of individuals to reflect the American people. The same thing in Congress.
Population,
you know,
based on quotas just, and stuff like that, affirmative action agendas and such.
It's only fair, I mean, you know.
So if you look it up, though, you'll find that an overwhelming percentage of Congress is wealthy, white, and male, Kurt. Now, don't worry. They're celebrating diversity. There's more black people, more Hispanics, and more women than ever before, but it's still overwhelmingly white. Why don't you look up Demographics Congress, Kurt, and see what you get? Can you do that for me real fast? This is an interesting discussion, to say the least. And by the way, while you're looking that up, the Salt Lake City Police Department detective who arrested a nurse for following all the rules Well, maybe losing his job on the police force as well as his paramedic job. The investigation internal is very critical of this officer. He's in deep doo-doo, Kurt, for violating all kinds of laws and internal police department directives. So hopefully that sucker gets fired yesterday and it sends a clear message of accountability.
Yeah, I heard part of the mayor's press conference about it. That's the bottom line. She said, well, you know, we were going to do something about this anyway, even
yeah, sure you were. Was...
Anyway, I just thought, when I heard that, I thought, yeah. I mean, if the media
well,
really...
Well, our prayer is that it's true.
Yeah.
Now, so back to this deal, though. The U.S. Congress is still overwhelmingly white, rich, and male, Kurt. What do you think of that?
Well, like I said, they're going to have to fix that. I mean, it's just not fair, is it, Sam? You know.
Did you look this up?
You know, you said it was. Tell me again.
All you got to do is look up congressional or Congress demographics.
Okay.
And you'll get a bunch of reports on it, and you can look. But I'm just telling you, they're overwhelmingly wealthy, white, and male.
Yeah. So,
and then they're
going to
run around and
up,
say we're against racism.
Yeah.
We're against, you know, white supremacists and all this kind of stuff. However, they coddled Robert Byrd, who was a KKK leader while he's a member of Congress, backed by Hillary and crew, and the Republicans were silent on that one, Kurt.
That's right.
Now, why do I want you to look it up if I've already looked it up? Because there's some statistics there that are interesting.
All right.
What did you find when you say congressional demographics or Congress demographics? Do you get a bunch of stuff?
I got U.S. News, and they say it's the most racially diverse in history, and it boasts more women serving in the Senate than ever before.
Yeah.
But they say increased diversity in the new Congress is largely around the edges, with women and minorities each making up less than 20% of lawmakers. When it comes to religion, more than 90% of members are identified as Christian.
So they're white, they're wealthy, they're male, and they're Christian. And they're going to run around, and they're going to basically declare war on white supremacists. But isn't that the very definition of their opponents on white supremacy, Kurt?
That's a good point, Sam.
In other words, are they going to take on the real discussion, or are they just going to put together a blanket statement going, we're not really white supremacists? Anyway, I just find that interesting. Less than 20% have any diversity at all, women and whatever. Now, I'm fine with Congress being white. I'm fine with the best man or woman winning. I'm fine with Congress having no whites if there's no good white people running. I'm fine with the best man or woman winning, period.
Yeah. Whatever color or whatever style they may be, you know.
Yeah, as long as they support the supreme law of the land and stand for God, family, and country, I'm in.
Yeah, good point. Imagine that.
All right. By the way, there's a positive news story at Burger King. Did you see it, Kurt?
They're flipping burgers positively.
They did not have two abortions in 2 days. I'll tell you what they did have in seconds, though. Sam and Kurt, Liberty Roundtable Live.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
With Liberty News this hour, I'm Dennis Daly. Sadly, the chaos in Florida continues. Millions of Floridians struggling through massive traffic jams just trying to get home. Unfortunately, many of them are finding their homes aren't there. In addition, millions of people remain without water, power, and sewage, particularly in the Florida Keys, where it may take months to get power restored. The situation in Florida is a humanitarian crisis. For several months, the mayor of Seattle, Ed Murray, has been under fire for allegations of child abuse. He's refused to resign, and those on the city council who are on his side have refused to take any action against him. Now the people of the city have apparently had enough. When a fifth allegation of sexual child abuse emerged, the mayor finally quit. but he continues to deny the allegations. His position will be assumed by the city council president, who can choose to serve until the November election. Under Murray's leadership, Seattle continued to be a progressive city and welcomed immigrants as part of the city's public policy for years. You're listening to LibertyNewsDaily.com.
Audio Compass is the perfect software solution for remote broadcasting. Consider Audio Compass for sporting events, talk show hosts, sound bites from the field, and more. Allow Audio Compass to transfer low delay, crystal clear audio over the internet. AudioCompass.com.
There is a place you can go to get up to speed quickly on all the stories that matter to freedom-loving people. GovernAmerica.com features news and commentary about Agenda 21, technocracy, the economy, border violence, and more. Go to GovernAmerica.com. That's GovernAmerica.com.
With Liberty News, I'm Dennis Daly.
Many of you have heard me talk about my vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is all this vigor stuff about? Well, vigor is defined as zest for life, your strength in body and mind, your energy levels. It's kind of all wrapped into a term called vigor. Would you like to improve your vigor score? Well, you got to first take the free test. Get a hold of Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com or call Kurt Cosby at 801-669-2211. I took the test, got a 13 out of 32. Horrible, huh? But I worked on it with Kurt with some natural help and healing, and before you know it, now I've got an astounding 29 out of 32 on the vigor score. Can you tell by the way I talk? Oh, yes, my zest for life has never been better. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. That's 801-669-2211 and take your free vigor test today, and you can learn where you stand, and then you can work on improving it and take the test again, and oh, compare the results. You will be delighted. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com or 801-669-2211 for your free vigor score test today.
With news the networks refuse to use, you are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
Unless the leaders, the owners of Burger King, are enemies of freedom, it looks like Burger King is pro-life, Kurt. They didn't have two deaths in 2 days, two murders in 2 days over there at Burger King. No, sir. A local Burger King had two births in 2 days. I guess there was a ton of traffic due to a fatal accident. And one woman was going with her husband to the hospital and everything else, and she started having hardcore contractions. They had to pull into the Burger King parking lot. She gave birth. Next day, similar results. So Burger King, two births in 2 days. Now that could be a tremendous tagline for the pro-life movement, couldn't it, Kurt? And we could find out if Burger King stands with pro-life, and if so, it'd be a great pro-life distribution chain. And we could all back Burger King and, you know, eat burgers and promote pro-life. And if they're pro-death, then we can basically, you know, part ways, create a boycott. And literally, these are the issues that could launch us into the mainstream news. They wouldn't be able to stop it if enough of us got involved, Kurt. But I commend Burger King. What do you say?
Well, it's a great point, Sam.
Now, you could say they didn't do anything. Mm-hmm. Well, they didn't, like, stop it. They didn't murder the babies or anything. And a lot of times, I think that's what these businesses ought to do, is stay out of the political fray. But back the good things in America.
Yeah.
All right, anything else on that? I just found that interesting. Two births in 2 days.
That is a good story.
Yeah?
Yeah.
How do we get more of those?
Amen to that, yeah.
Now, I guess, Kurt, they say Irma's wrath means higher food prices. I guess it devastated a swath of the growing areas in Florida, and they say that tomatoes and fruits and things are going to be taking a beating in pricing at the stores. So even you're going to be suffering from Irma, Kurt.
Well, the one thing about that, at least in my opinion, is that maybe folks will appreciate their food a little more, you know, that kind of thing. That's a good thing.
I'm for appreciating food. I'm not necessarily for higher prices, but I get your point. Sometimes
you're a food appreciator, I think.
I heard that.
You like certain kinds of things that, you know, you like to eat good stuff that's good for you, you know. But that makes sense. Yes, you are. I mean, it's very impressive, I think.
I've lost 50 pounds, so I'm on. I'm going to keep at it.
No, you're just like less, you know, a lot less of the man that you used to be.
No, I'm more of a man, Kurt.
That's right. Good point.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. Yeah. Hey, Kurt, so I told you I had an iPhone update, and I got one for you that I think is critical to discuss. So we told you about the iPhone 8 and the 8 Plus. The 8's $800. The 8 Plus is... No, I'm sorry. The 8 is $700. The 8 Plus is $800. And the X, or they call it the 10, is $1,000. And if you want the 256 gig memory, add $150 to that. Some of the most expensive iPhones in history. And you wonder how well Apple will do positioning themselves at the most expensive or top of the market. They've done that for a long time and been quite successful. But there's a lot of news articles coming out now to say, look, you know what? We don't know that the latest is the greatest. And they come out and they tell you which iPhone is the best bang for your buck, Kurt. And I happen to agree with this. Do you know what it is?
No, which one?
It's your iPhone, Kurt.
The 7 big one.
Is that what, the one you have?
Yeah, it's a 7 big boy or whatever.
Oh, 7 Plus. I didn't know you got one of those. You must have changed since I saw your phone last.
Right.
Anyway, you used to have the best phone, a bang for your buck, and you got rid of it, I guess. Anyway, it's the iPhone SE.
I needed a bigger screen so I could see it better. And my problem is I can't see as good as I used to.
Well, hey, welcome to the club. I think a lot of folks are in that position. And anyway, the iPhone SE, they say, is the best bang for your buck, $349, you know, full price right now. And they say that it's got, you know, some of the latest, greatest technology. It's still upgraded to the latest operating system. It's kind of the sweet spot is what we like to call it in IT. What's the sweet spot? How do
is
I get
there
big
a
enough?
Plus one? Is
no,
there a
not
plus
of the SE,
size?
No.
Oh, okay. My buddy, our buddy Greg wants to get an upgraded one. He's got, you know, the older, smaller version. He wants a bigger one. So what would you recommend
if he wants a bigger one?
For the Plus?
And you can go for the 7 Plus or the 7 Regular. The 7 Regular is bigger than the SE or the 6. You know, it's a bigger form factor. So in either case, you can get a bigger one that way.
Okay. Yeah, and he was checking with, our carrier, Verizon. And they
you got to wait.
Like,
they're coming out with all their deals today.
770. Oh, today.
If you wait a little. Oh. Because you can get the 8 for 700.
8 for 700, huh?
So I'm telling you that the 7 regular, which is bigger than the one he has now, it's not as big as the Plus that you have, but it's bigger, will drop even further. And then the 7 Plus, you know, I'm just telling you some of those phones are kind of the sweet spots. But they say the SE is the best sweet spot of all. $349 out of the door. Kind of interesting. All right, I guess Amazon is becoming blatantly, hostily political, Kurt. LibertyNewsDaily.com brings this piece to us.
Ooh.
The Amazon company's website, owned by Jeff Bezos, and the ultra-liberal Washington Post. Well, Amazon has been literally shutting down, you know, books and promotions of conservative things. And they've always had kind of an excuse for this, Kurt. But now they're having a tough time explaining. They've promoted Hillary Clinton's book big time. I guess there was about 80 reviews, evenly divided. Some were against the book more than 4, but now they've taken down all the against reviews, Kurt. So bottom line is headline ought to say Amazon backs Hillary in unprecedented ways.
Or Amazon's for censorship, something like that.
Yeah, good point. Anyway, I found that interesting. Amazon becoming blatantly political. And they promote a liberal agenda. All right, Americans are growing tired of being lectured by elites, Kurt. Did you see this?
No, but I think it's true.
Yeah, that's right. And I guess what's happening is some of the Hollywood elitists that are supposed to be raising money to provide humanitarian aid to victims of hurricanes and such like that are now using the opportunity as a stump speech to promote their liberal agendas. The mainstream media is even worse, and Americans are rebelling. The summer movies at the box office released by the Hollywood elites are being, rejecting it. They say Hollywood elites have huge carbon footprints and they're lecturing about global warming. And I guess the bottom line, the Americans are seeing that they're some of the greatest contributors to the environmental woes, even though they, you know, claim that you and I need to do less or have less, be less to support the global warming agenda. Their footprints are huge and people are realizing it. This includes people like Justin Bieber, George Clooney, Beyonce, Barbara Streisand, Al Gore, many others. I want to respond to that one. Kurt, Americans are sick of it.
So what you're telling me is guys like Al Gore and all the movie stars that complain that you and I, you know, somebody we know might have sprayed some hairspray and ruined the earth, they're flying around in jets going to their things, and while we're supposed to ride a bike, right?
Yes, sir. That's exactly what I'm telling you. And what I'm telling you furthermore is even though the mainstream press tries to participate and cover up this, duplicitous, you know, the rules are for thee and not for me agenda, this double standard, the media is covering it up. Americans know the truth and they're sick of it. They're done with it. They can't take it anymore and they're mad. And so the Hollywarped folks are paying for it dearly at the box offices and people are getting it, Kurt. And I find that good news.
Do you think that's why the box office, do you think that's why the box office is, you know, people don't go there? You know, at least in my opinion, one of the main reasons is there's several reasons. Number one, you know, in my opinion, they've priced it so high that it's out of, you know, it's just crazy. Number two, I think that there's so many ways of being entertained besides just, you know, TV, movies. Now, you've got, you know, 2,000 channels on the Roku player? You've got all these options. So when Hollywood ups their prices like crazy, and then they keep forcing us to watch stuff we don't want to watch, they don't give you something you want, like a clean movie with a real good story. They've got to force you to watch some depravity, and even if you want to edit it, they've got to go after the company that's going to help you edit their product. Man, I mean, there's quite a few things that would make the box office suffer, if you ask me.
No question. I think you're spot on. Let's talk about this a little bit more. There are solutions, ladies and gentlemen, and you and I are part of them, and Americans are waking up and getting a clue. And it's good news, in my opinion. Liberty Roundtable live in seconds.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
All right. In my humble opinion, to which I'm entitled, Barack Hussein Obama needs to be arrested. Yes, he deserves a trial like everybody else. It ought to be speedy and it ought to be a due process. I get it. But in my humble opinion, Barack Hussein Obama ought to be arrested, not only because he has a forged birth certificate, that's another topic, but because of this interesting headline. It's an exclusive in the Daily Caller. Obama's top campaign ad firm got nearly $60 million in federal contracts after he took office, writes Richard Pollack. Now, Kurt, do you want to talk about this? This story is huge. So Barack Obama has an ad campaign group. It's tied into the Democrats. It's tied into Bill and Hillary Clinton and everybody else. And after Barack took office, the top campaign ad firm got $60 million in federal contracts. This is problematic, to say the least, Kurt.
But Sam, I'm sure that none of this money came back to him and or his buddies and stuff, and that they didn't make contributions.
Wait a minute, they are his buddies.
Oh, yeah. Sorry about that.
There's a conflict of interest at epic proportions. Why doesn't Donald have Barack Hussein arrested immediately and then launch an investigation? Isn't that what they did to Ammon Bundy and those guys, Kurt?
Well, yeah, but they're regular people. Sam.
I know, but look, I mean, this $60 million
get a different kind of justice.
We got to find
America.
Out if money steering took place, if some type of money laundering or some type of special granting or privilege or payback or contract, whatever. You know, we got to check out that process and get to the bottom of it. And Barack ought to be in jail right alongside Ammon Bundy while we're waiting. I mean, what gives with this story? Did you see this story, Kurt? They talk about money going to all kinds of government agencies and Homeland Security. And you got these ad contractors making just boatloads of bucks. And they're all in bed with Barack. And they've literally spent a ton of money even under Trump. They need Sam and Kurt to stop this. We need to come back and say we're not spending a penny with this group anymore. First off, there's a criminal investigation relating to it. So all money is on hold until that's resolved. Secondly, Barack should be in jail, and we should go on with this, Kurt. This
but
is serious
Sam,
stuff.
The Democrat and the Republican parties would never allow this. I mean, they
why not?
They're clean as the driven snow.
We ought to have the IRS would, look into
they
this.
They wouldn't imagine that. I'll tell you what. You know, it's so corrupt, and that's one of the things. You know, we liked about the whole idea of Donald Trump, you know, in the beginning, and it still could happen, what was the idea of, hey, let's, you know, clean up, let's make America great again. Let's clean up all of this havoc and all of this action that shouldn't be going on and treat everybody fairly and, you know, eliminate the bad things in government, keep all the good things. But, you know, we're far from that, aren't we, Sam?
Yeah, we're far from that, but I don't understand what gives. How come this story isn't the top story ever? This is criminal activity at the highest level.
Wait a minute. You really don't know why this story is not the top story?
No, Barack's out of office.
Yeah, but it's his pals that run the different media entities, the pals that helped him put him in office. They're not going to get egg on their face by basically saying, look at how criminal this guy is, because he's one of their, chosen ones. You know what I mean? And most of those guys, at least if you really want to look at it, they have, they're like accomplices to the,
but the Donald
criminal activity.
You forgot about the Donald factor. Can't Donald go off on this?
Well, what do you mean? He could do a tweet?
He could tweet. He could get on Liberty Roundtable Live. Yeah. He could refuse to talk about that to anybody else. Whenever they put him on the set, he could say, listen, there's a scandal going on with Barry over here. Barry diverted a ton of bucks to his favorite ad agency. This is a scandal. See, I told you the media was the enemy of the people, and this proves it. And we're going to arrest people over this scandal. We're going to get to the bottom of it. We're going to hold trials. We're going to have accountability. We're going to find out if money was wrongfully steered, if there was a conflict of interest. I mean, they're doing that to the Donald on every turn, aren't they, Kurt? Now, I wonder if these ad agencies have any ties to Russia, if you want to go down that line.
Well, yeah.
Come on. Point. I just took off the boxing gloves. Let's get her done. I just threw a left hook and started with a bloody nose coming right out of the gate.
Yeah.
What gives on this thing, man? Right.
Well, I'll tell you what gives, Sam, is that every one of these things has got to be held accountable. And most of them know that if they really started, quote, taking off the gloves and getting to the bottom line, I mean, you're going to have very few that are not guilty of some kind of big infraction, in my
opinion. Yeah, Donald is tweeting, just not about this like he ought to be, Kurt. He ought to be tweeting about pro-life, and he ought to be tweeting about this. But he's not. I guess he sat down with the moderate Democrats for dinner last night, Kurt. And they're coming out of it with different tales. Yeah. The Democrats are coming out of it saying,
I think it was, Schumer and Pelosi?
Yeah, aren't they the chief Democrats right now?
Well, yeah, you said moderate Democrats, so
well, these guys are moderate, Kurt.
Oh, okay. Never mind.
Because these guys aren't part of the Communist USA portion of the Democratic Party, are they? The Communist Party of USA, there's about, you know, a bunch of Democrats that are involved in that. They're more extreme than these guys are. Now, these guys have extreme rhetoric, but it's not doubled down and flat out pure in-your-face communism at this point. So, you know, I jokingly refer to moderate, but I make the point that it's lurching left big time, to say the least. However, so the Democrats came out and they've been saying, look, Donald made a deal. We're not going to build the border wall and we're going to go ahead and grant amnesty to the DACA folks. Donald already agreed. We're getting it done right away. In a series of tweets, Trump denied he made a deal with Dems on immigration, says the headline. Do you want to respond to this, Kurt?
Well, didn't Jerry Hughes always teach us nothing's official until it's been denied?
Yes, sir. Now, do I dare kind of, as one of our old friends used to say, Chuck Carter used to say, you know what, I don't know facts because I'm not an insider. But I am getting pretty good at reading the tea leaves. Is that what it'd say, Kurt? So I'm going to go ahead and do
something like that. Or he'd say it doesn't pass a smell test, you know, different stuff like that.
So do you think the Democrats are just lying, Kurt?
Well, you know, all they've got to do is say, well, that wasn't exactly it, or that didn't, you know, exactly occur. And you know, and it all depends on, remember like Bill Clinton when he said, it depends on your definition of the word is.
That's right. I think that's true. And I don't think either story is accurate. I'll break down, reading the tea leaves, what I think is the real case. I think Donald sat down with Democrats and they talked about a lot of stuff. They talked about the raising the debt ceiling that they already worked on as a success. And they said, this is phenomenal. We can work together on other things. What else can we work together on? And DACA came up. And I think that Donald basically said, you know what? I want to work on DACA, and I don't think it has to be tied to the border wall. And I think then Donald, doing his best to say, I'll work with anybody who will work on good things together, made some of those statements. And what happened is Democrats then took that and drove a truck through the statements and turned it into what they want it to be, which is Donald agreed to DACA without building the border wall. Well, that's not exactly what happened. We just kind of said they didn't have to be tied together. That doesn't mean that we're not building the wall. It doesn't mean at all what they infer it to mean. So I think Democrats intentionally built a mountain out of a molehill to drive a wedge with the Donald. They took advantage of his words and they manipulated it. He probably did say some of those things. In other words, if you were to listen to it, you'd come back and say, okay, I see that Donald gave them quite a bit of go-ahead, but he didn't agree to what they're saying he agreed to. On the other side with Donald, I think that Donald's acting like he didn't say any of that because this is where his base is the strongest. Ann Coulter just wrote an article called No Amnesty is the Best Amnesty. We'll get into that as the broadcast unfolds over the next couple of days. However, the point is that Donald, I'm sure, still wants to build the border wall. I don't think he relinquished that at all. Even saying there might be a separation between whatever you come up with on DACA, that doesn't have to relate to the border wall. Okay, I get that. But they're coming away with different points. But I submit to you that both of them are okay with this because it keeps this the discussion, Kurt. It lets the Democrats push to get a kind of a wedge or a foot in the door. It lets Donald kind of beat up the Republicans and threaten that he'll go somewhere else to the Democrats for solutions if he has to. It's a very, very, in my opinion, game of chicken that the Republicans, the Democrats, and the Donald are all playing right now. And in the end of the day, I suspect to you that nobody will win but the insiders, and the people will lose in this game of chicken. It's dangerous, it's disastrous, and there can be no good coming from it. And, you know, I disagree with Ann Coulter a little bit. Ann Coulter's point is on the amnesty idea. Hey, if you let anybody become citizens, it'll eventually be a big let everybody. I don't think it has to be that way. I do think there's different groups of people that deserve different treatment when it comes to immigration. The hardliners don't acknowledge those differences. The softliners, in other words, the people who support illegality, don't highlight those differences either, because it doesn't serve either of their mutual purposes, which is among that battle fault line to get nothing done but promote the elitist agenda. But I believe something could be done on this productive, but we got to stop the rhetoric, we got to stop the game of chicken, and we got to stop the assaults against one another if we're going to have any progress, any prayer of solutions on this, Kurt. Any final comment on that?
Yeah, well, at least my main comment is it does make it interesting when you try to watch what's going on. You got the Ryans and the McConnells are getting left in the back of the bus, you know, because, you know, at least I think they deserve it. They, you know, so wishy-washy and never doing anything.
Unfortunately, I couldn't agree more.
Yeah. So that makes it entertaining, if you ask me.
I hear that. I think Donald's trying to get the Republicans off the mark to do something for a change. I don't know how successful he'll be. I think it's a game of chicken that has no winners, though. I believe the divide and conquer tactics and the continued assaults and attacks are alive and well. And I pray something productive can happen for a change. But if we're going to focus on something productive, it ought to be pro-life. Good for Rand Paul and others for providing absolute stellar leadership on that movement. We're going to do all we can to help, and we implore you to do the same. Call your congressmen or senators and ask them to please support the Life at Conception Act immediately. We need your help, folks. We need it desperately. Thanks for being alongside for the ride. We declare we the people, along with the grace of the Almighty, we can and will restore America. The only question left is, will you help? LibertyRoundtable.com.